now speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In just a few weeks' time, we'll be involved in our mission. There's more. So for our Sunday morning services in Lent, we'll be focusing on what it means to live the mission of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to reflect on how, by following the example of Jesus, we can reveal the kingdom to our community. The story is told of a rather self-important man who made it his mission to visit the Sunday club groups in his church each week. The leaders often felt a little bit intimidated by him sitting there in silent judgment. One young woman nervously asked him if he'd like to speak a few words to the group. Well, of course he would like to. So he stood up in front of the little ones and he said, "Why do you suppose people call me a Christian?" No one answered. Nobody moved. So he asked again, "Why do you think people call me a Christian?" Silence. Blank stares. "Come on," he said, "somebody give me an answer. Why do people call me a Christian?" And finally, one small hand worked its way hesitantly above a young head, and he pointed expectantly to the little girl and said, "Why do you suppose people call me a Christian?" "Maybe," she said with a little tremor in her voice, "because they don't really know you." Well, as baptized members of the church, we're committed to living the mission of Jesus and working with him to reveal the kingdom. Hopefully, people know that we're Christians because we both know and reflect the love of Christ in our lives, through our words and our actions. In our gospel reading from Matthew, we join Jesus at the start of his public ministry. Jesus has already made a difficult journey, both physically and emotionally, leaving his family, his home, and his livelihood, travelling down the great Rift Valley. Behind him is the verdant terrain of Galilee. And in front of him is the testing environment of the Jordan Valley and the desert. And it's here that he enters the turbulent waters of the River of Jordan and is baptized by John. It's a very dramatic scene. As Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens open. The Spirit of God descends like a dove, and we witness God's affirmation of Jesus. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." After this high, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, another scary place, and here he's tempted by the devil. These highs and lows are repeated throughout Jesus' ministry over the next 3 years. There's the high of the calling of his disciples and their success as they're sent out in his name, and the low of being betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter. I wonder which hurt him most. In between, there is the high of the Sermon on the Mount and the feeding of the masses, and the low that we hear about in John's Gospel of many of his followers finding his teaching too difficult and turning back, no longer following him. We too experience the wilderness and temptation in our faith journey, along with many highs and lows which impact our lives and our faith. So what can we learn from Matthew's Gospel that will help us? How does Jesus stay focused and balanced through the ups and downs of his life and mission? Jesus had a pattern and rhythm to his life that enabled him to fulfill his calling as the Messiah of God. and to reveal the kingdom. When we look at the way that he faced up to and managed the temptations in the wilderness, we can learn how these same strategies can help us fulfill our calling and our mission. There are four disciplines that Jesus lived by that are a helpful example for us. First, our withdrawal. Second, a pattern of prayer and fasting. Third, a knowledge and understanding of Scripture that enabled him to stand firm. And finally, intent and obedience to his calling. At the start of his public ministry, Jesus withdraws. He's led by the Spirit into the desert to be alone with God. Time away from others, from his family, alone with God, to prepare for his mission. This isn't the only time that Jesus withdraws. There are many accounts in the Gospels where we're told that Jesus withdrew. After the disciples return from their mission and they tell Jesus all that they've done and taught, he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place and rest." After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus withdraws. And before he faces his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus withdraws and prays. Our call as disciples of Christ is to proclaim the kingdom of God. How can we do that unless we build a relationship with him? It's vital to withdraw and spend time with God. Whether we go away on a retreat or a quiet day, or whether we intentionally build some quiet time alone with God in our daily lives on a regular basis. Lent is the time that we associate with fasting, with giving something up. And the purpose of this is so that we will become focused on keeping our desires and wants under control, which in turn helps us to be disciplined and obedient to our calling in overcoming temptation. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus is challenged to prove who he is by turning stones into bread. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Here the temptation is first to prove he is the Son of God. Can you imagine the level of self-discipline that it must have taken to resist this temptation? Not only could Jesus satisfy his own hunger, but by turning stones into bread, he could put an end to hunger and feed the whole world. Wow, he'd be so popular. Do we sometimes do things to impress others rather than be faithful to our Christian calling? In response to the retort, "Call yourself a Christian," do we sometimes do things to try to prove that we are good Christians? Do we sometimes avoid confrontation rather than stand up for what is right? It seems that the minute the church speaks out, we're accused of dabbling in things that are no business of ours. The recent debate about welfare cuts is an example. But in spite of the temptation, Jesus remains faithful to his calling, and he responds, "One does not live by bread alone. It's more important to be fed by the word of God." Lent is a good time for us to examine our pattern of prayer and fasting to help us to remain faithful. Jesus gives us this example. And he also gives us further guidance, if we need it, in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus' knowledge and understanding of Scripture enabled him to stand firm. In all three temptations, he responds with a quote from Scripture. Even when the devil quotes Scripture at Jesus, he responds with Scripture. The devil says, "If you are the Son of God, prove it by throwing yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, because it's written in Psalm 91 that he will command his angels concerning you. No harm will come to you. They will not let your foot be dashed on a stone. Jesus responds with a quote from Deuteronomy, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Have we built into our daily lives time to read and to memorize the Word of God this Lent? This Lent, as we prepare for our mission to go out and proclaim the kingdom, it would be good to familiarize ourselves with the scriptures, and particularly the Gospels, so that when we're asked, we can respond not only with our own testimony, but also with the revelation of the kingdom that Jesus has taught and shown us. Finally, Satan offers Jesus the whole world as his kingdom if he'll just worship him. And Jesus responds again with scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus is intent in proclaiming the kingdom, in doing the Father's will and obeying his Father's call. Jesus' power will be shown in great weakness and sacrifice through the cross. In contrast, like the self-important man who visited the Sunday clubs, our society values power and success, which it measures by the value of material possessions or by position. How far up the organisation are you? Or by social status? I can't recall hearing much about how successful a husband, wife, mother, father, son, or daughter a person is, particularly in the media, at least not in their lifetime. We might hear this sort of thing in a tribute to a person at their funeral, but in their everyday lives, the ability to love and to receive love is not a competency that we hear much about. Yet after only 3 years of preaching, teaching, healing and serving others, reaching out to the world with love, fulfilling his vocation to be the suffering servant king through his passion and death, Jesus continues some 2,014 years later to have a huge impact on millions of people's lives. That's pretty remarkable, and I would say successful. Jesus lived out his calling through an intentional pattern and rhythm of life. And as we benefit from his obedience and his passion, we are so grateful that he did. So this Lent, as we prepare to fulfill our vocation and calling, to play our part in bringing in the kingdom of God, let us consider and put into practice the patterns of rhythms of life through fasting, prayer, withdrawal, and reading the scriptures that will sustain us in our faith, our ministry, and our mission. Amen.